What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and you are listening to a new episode with us tonight. We are recording. It is a Wednesday, December 4th. Welcome to the final month of the year, and it is episode 244. What we got in store for you guys this week? Well, recapping a win over West Virginia. Lots of Texas Tech football news after the final game of the season. Coaches on their way out, coaches on their way in, players on their way out, players on their way in. Lots of stuff going on football-wise that we got to talk about, and a little bit of basketball before we get out for the week. So fun episode for you guys. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin, well, the regular season is officially over for the Texas Tech Red Raiders as the West Virginia Mountaineers came to town, and, well, they didn't show up, and the Red Raiders kicked that ass 52-15 to get their eighth win on the season. First time since 2009 the Red Raiders have won eight games in the regular season. It was a dominant performance from start to finish. The offense was a little struggled at the start, only putting up field goals, but really got going. Defense was creating turnovers and shutting West Virginia's offense down, held West Virginia to just 3 points in the first half. And really from there, it was over. Red Raiders dominate 52-15, get the win, send Neil Brown out the door at West Virginia as he is no longer the head coach there any longer. After that pitiful performance from West Virginia. But good vibes for the Red Raiders after this game. Dustin, your thoughts on the impressive closeout to the season?
Yeah, we were finally able to beat a team and put them to bed early and team's ass. Like, we've been waiting on this for a while, I feel like, especially a team that's you feel like you're way better than.
Yeah.
Like, at every level and every position type deal. And so felt really good watching that game, at ease type deal. Offense was really good. I mean, they were just moving the ball so easy. Even on those first two drives that he got stopped a little short in the red zone inside the 15 and inside the 5 and settled for field goals. You kind of got a little worried at first, you know, started out 6-3 and then the end of the first and second quarter just blew up on West Virginia, and you were actually able to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
You scored 29 freaking points in the second quarter. That's usually when Kittley disappears.
Yeah. Surprising.
That was just amazing to see. I mean, yeah, great overall performance. Everybody showed up. Everybody showed out. It's really nice to have a easy victory on senior day for all those guys.
Yeah, I think I was texting you. I was like, it's so weird to leave a game early and us be the team that's kicking ass, not our ass getting handed to us. We've had the other experiences. But, yeah, it was a really nice performance. You know, like you said, stress-free, a little bit at the start. But once you really took control of the game, we were just having a good time at the stadium, me and the people who made it out there. And it was a little chilly, but, you know, 11 a.m. kick was our first of the season, and apparently we should have been playing a lot more games at 11 because I don't know what was with our team, but they were ready to go. But it was a good offensive performance. The defense definitely was playing with a little fire behind them. Some guys who haven't really made an impact all season kind of stepped up and did some things for you. And that one created three turnovers, a take three, one late in the game, but you got a take three by the defense. The offense was clicking and really couldn't be stopped. The second quarter, that was the best second quarter of the year by Kittley. I thought it was finally we've been asking for it and asking for it and asking for it, but it was consistent and complimentary football on both sides of the ball. You were getting stops. Offense was scoring off of you. You were getting turnovers. Offense was scoring off those. It's something that we knew we could do, and I think that's why we've been a little hard on Kittley, is like you can see that the opportunities are there, just haven't been able to take advantage of it. And you're finally able to do that. And Matt, when you're able to do that, it makes for an easy football game. So that was nice. Your other thoughts on the offensive performance in this one more specifically? now that we know is Zach Kittley's last offensive game for Texas Tech. And of course, we'll get into him a little bit more, but just from this game specifically.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just him letting everything loose or that West Virginia just laid down and didn't show up. Mix of all of it, but yeah, it looked really easy. I mean, I'm looking at the drive chart here and you never punted.
Yeah.
Even though our punter had a buddy come in from Australia to watch him play, and he never got to play.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah, it's literally scored 5 straight touchdowns in there, had an interception, but you scored on, yeah, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times out of 10 possessions. That's
pretty good.
Really good. And 3 of those field goals, you know, a lot of touchdowns in there. You got an extra point, 2-point conversion run in on Conyers. Like, I don't know, it was just so easy. It was nice also having the O-line block.
Yeah.
And Taj be able to get yards down the field before he had to make a move or got touched. Like, that's why his stat line was so good today. I mean, Barron had time and guys were super wide open. I mean, literally everything was just hitting for you.
Yeah, every facet of the game was working. Everybody played their best game of the season. The line, like you said, it was fun to watch Taj actually get a run like 10 yards down the field before even getting touched. Crazy. He was awesome, and we'll get into him a little bit more specifically. But I thought this was a really good final performance from Kittley. Of course, your last 2 games with Kittley, and you know, I'm not going to crap on the guy now because he's off to bigger and better things. But, you know, it was against a little lesser opponents, but he did what he was supposed to do
right
in those games, and that was, you know, dominate weak defenses. And so it was really encouraging to see that progress to where it was like, okay, would you have been okay with him coming back? Like, I still don't know if it would have gotten better without Taj, but at least had signs of it. The offense was significantly better attacking the field, mixing up the play calls, a lot of run, a lot of pass, and just really threw the defenses off these last 2 weeks to where, like, it was impressive to watch. And so I think that's why we're a little harsh on him sometimes, is like the potential is always there. You just never really saw him do it when you needed him to kind of do it the most. But ultimately, you get a great offensive performance to end the season, and you will take that, and you will take that dub. Defense also had themselves a game to end the season. They were pretty much the talk of all last week after giving up 48 points to Oklahoma State, who then turned around and got completely shut out by Colorado. So that didn't look great for the defense, but they came out. They were playing with a little fire under them, got 3 turnovers, really made it hard for West Virginia, took them completely out of the game in the first half to where they only able to score 3 points by that time. The game was pretty much over. So what do you think about the defensive performance in this one and their ability to bounce back and end the season on a bright note?
Yeah, this definitely looked like your best defensive game plan that you put together all year. And you're able to get pressure, even with a depleted D-line. I mean, you were bringing guys, you were bringing Mo Horn off the edge a little bit. And so, but yeah, you're able to get pressure. You weren't able to let them get into their run game. And they were never in control of what they were doing on offense. And like, that's the best spot to be in as a defense. And so being able to force turnovers and not let them get into their run game was great. And then, like, you complement that with what Kittley did in the second quarter, putting up 4 touchdowns, and you just get them down in such a hole that they don't have the offense to come back to. And so the second half's a lot easier on your defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely thought they were the more physical team. They showed it by being able to get pressure. You know, we knew West Virginia was going to try to run the ball on us. That's their bread and butter is running the ball. And you really took the running game out. And I think they didn't have a plan otherwise. And they just haven't really been that good of a team through the air. And you made them make some mistakes early. And it was just really good to see for those guys. We know it's been a struggle for them this season. You've seen the potential from time to time. They've had games where you've gone out and seen it, and then the following week they'll have another bad performance or something. But the potential is there on a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see them go out there and end the season on a bright spot. So good job to the defense. The big kind of part of the last game was that it was Taj Brooks's final home game as a Texas Tech Red Raider. We've enjoyed getting to watch him.
Yeah.
Pretty much carry the Texas Tech for the last couple seasons. It's been a joy to watch him as a Red Raider, but he got the timeout and got to be announced off the field for his final call with the little curtain call there. What you think about this being Taj's last game and the awesomeness that was around him kind of getting to walk off the field for the last time?
Yeah, great show all around there. You know, Coach McGuire and staff getting that together for him to get off the field with like 5 or so minutes left in the game, and got a big announcement in the stadium being, you know, leading rusher for this football program's history and what he's done. And it was also just nice showing on his part to have a kind of easier game for him, and he could just show off all game, because that's what it was. It wasn't what we're used to, as, you know, he has to fight from -2 yards to get +3 and those kind of runs. It was, oh, there's an open hole for 7 yards. Oh, let me juke myself. Oh, let me spin off this linebacker and into the end zone. It was nice to see him have an easy show off game and pad the stats, and yeah, probably have a unbreakable type record for the foreseeable future here.
Yeah, I would put a lot of money on that record's never going to get broken with this day and age, the transfer portal and all of that happening. It's going to be very rare to have a guy who's going to play for you. And of course, he got that extra year because he was on the COVID team, so he had 5 years to run for you. So it's going to be really hard to break that record, but it's also going to be really hard because it's just hard to find really good running backs like a Taj Brooks and the consistency of what he was able to do every game. He rushed for over 100 yards this season. I think he did that. He's done that like 18 straight games or something like that now.
That's crazy.
I don't know how many games. But yeah, you know, going into each game that he's here, you're going to get probably over 125 yards, a couple touchdowns. And then that consistency is just really hard to match, and to do it over the time that he's done it has been really impressive. It was a well-earned send-off. It was a really cool moment for him to get that, especially after securing the all-time leading rusher. He's been a joy to watch as a player. He's exactly what you want in your program, a good young man to root for. Yes. And excited to see what his future has for him when he takes off the Red Raider jersey and puts on a NFL jersey. But it's been fun to watch him, and it's sad that that was his last time as at the Jones. But we'll get one more game from him as the Red Raiders are going bowling. So hopefully that one's a banger. But ending off your career at the Jones with 188 yards, 3 touchdowns is about the way you would expect Taj Brooks to end it. And like we said, he had a couple really awesome runs. He had that run where he juked a guy, almost made himself fall, gained enough momentum to run through another linebacker and score a touchdown. He also had a play on the Conyers Taj package that never gets stopped. Conyers missed a block, but it didn't matter because Taj just ran right through that guy. Ran through a motherfucker's face, just like Marshawn Lynch. but yeah, pretty awesome to get to have Taj as a Red Raider for as long as we did. So good send off for him. Some offensive stats from the game. Barron was 28 of 41 for 359, 2 touchdowns. He did throw a pick. I just read off Taj's stat line. He also added 2 catches for 35 receiving to that total. So he did go over 200 total yards of offense. Josh Kelly, the other big name from this game, 9 catches, 150 yards, and he also went over the 1,000-yard mark on the season. His first time doing that in his career, and our first time watching a Red Raider do that since Antoine Wesley did that. I think it was the 2018 season. I can't remember exactly, but I know it was around that season. So it's been a while. What do you think about Josh Kelly and his being the first receiver to break that 1,000-yard threshold and what he provided for this team in his senior year?
I think it's easy to say that that was the biggest transfer portal pickup you had this year.
Yeah.
An upgrade at one of your weaker positions to bring in a guy like that. I mean, he was also like one of the best third down receivers in the country. Like percentage,
I think he led the country in third down catches.
Like all the stats, he's way up there in that. And so Yeah, Josh Kelly had a great, great 1 year here. So glad that we were able to snag him from Washington State to come here for a year.
Yeah, it was a really good get. You needed to upgrade the receiving room, and you did that, and he was your leader there, and just every game was a consistent receiving threat for you. A lot of clutch catches that he made. Really fun to get to watch him for a year, and so that's kind of what we all expected, is to come here, be our leader in that unit, and he was able to do it. And I think he also helped develop our other guys. I think, you know, watching Caleb Douglas progress over this year, I don't know how much I would attribute that to Kelly, but I think some of that has to do with it. And so it's been fun to watch him. A couple other the seniors, Jalen Conyers had a nice bobble catch. That was pretty cool. Mason Tharp had almost one of the coolest touchdown catches you'll see that unfortunately got dropped. He got a touchdown. He got into the end zone a little bit later, but not really just like crazy stats from this game other than Taj and Josh Kelly there. Defensively, we did have a take three game. Baskerville had a interception in his senior day. John Curry had an interception as well, kind of later to ice the game. And then Terrell Tillman, I think he's a walk-on who came in and had a great game for you. He had a strip sack in this one to force a fumble for you. So those were the guys who had big parts in the three turnovers for you. As I mentioned, we had four sacks in this game, held West Virginia to 265 passing, 158 rushing. Our prediction recap, I had 45-42 Texas Tech. Dustin had 44-24. Dustin a little closer, having us win that by multiple possessions. So on the year, I went 9-3 in my predictions, Dustin 6-6. Against the spread, I had a West Virginia plus 3.5. Dustin had Texas Tech minus 3.5. On the season, not so good for me against the spread, 4-8. Dustin also 6-6 against the spread this season. We both had the over, so we both cashed that bet. I forgot our records on that, so I'm not going to go through that. I don't think those were that good either. So, offensive prediction, Dustin had Taj over 30 touches, over 150 yards. Didn't have the touches right, but he definitely had the 150-plus yards.
Yeah, I think I get that just because he didn't need to have 30 touches usually does. So
thank God.
He did even better.
This is what we wanted, like, the entire season, is him to be able to get, like, 20 so touches and just walk off, but we needed him more. I had Jalen Conyers with two touchdowns. No, he came up close a couple times, but unfortunately did not find the end zone. Defensively, Dustin had us holding them to under 175 rushing yards. He gets that as we held him to, as I mentioned, 158. I went the bad prediction route, and luckily for us, it worked out that he didn't get it. I had Garrett Green going for a 300 passing game with a 100-yard rushing game, and that did not happen. So all of that works out in the Red Raiders' favor as they win. And for the last time of the regular season, it is time for open up Club Red. So let's open up the club.
Somebody turn on some damn
All right, for the eighth time this season, Club Red is open, and for the final time this regular season, we get to throw in some VIPs to the Club Red. So offensively, Dustin, which route are you going this week?
I think I got to go Josh Kelly with the big 9-for-150 game. He had a bobble touchdown there towards the end that he was frustrated with himself about, but had a great game overall, great season overall as well for Josh Kelly.
Yeah, it's a good one. As always, Taj Brooks is always in the club.
Oh, yeah.
It is Taj Brooks's club at this point.
Yes. And
Barron will always gets in when he has good performances as the quarterback. So I'm going to give a shout out, and I'm going to let the offensive line in. You talked about it earlier.
Hell yeah.
And their ability to protect and create a lot of running lanes. They were vital in keeping Barron clean and springing Taj open for several big runs and three touchdowns. So I'm going to let the big boys in this week. And especially, you know, Caleb Rogers, one of the other seniors that we haven't yet mentioned, but his final game as a Red Raider, another guy who's played a lot of snaps for you as a Red Raider. So we'll let them into the club. Defensively, which route are you going?
I think we got to give it to Terrell Tillman on my side. I mean, we've been struggling on the D-line all year and getting pressure, and he had a great game with four tackles, two sacks, and a forced fumble in there in that big second quarter for the defense to turn it over West Virginia.
Yep, good selection there. I'm going to go with another senior, C.J. Baskerville, getting a pick in his final game. And it was one of those just I'm better than you kind of interceptions where he went up, had to go up against the receiver and came out with the ball. So it was an impressive interception from him. He's had a couple pretty impressive interceptions this season. And so gets one in his final game at the Jones. So we'll let C.J. Baskerville in. You know, special teams, Gino Garcia was 3 for 3, co-special team player of the week this week. So if you're a co-special team player in the Big 12, you get into Club Red. And, you know, we're sorry, Mr. Burgess, that you didn't get a punt. Your friend didn't get to see you. So because we feel bad for that, we'll let
that's a good game for a punter.
Yeah, that's a great game for a punter. And we'll let your friend in, too, since he traveled all this way to see you. Well, that'll do it for our coverage of Texas Tech West Virginia and our coverage for the regular season. Now we shift our focus to Texas Tech news, where the Texas Tech news has been pretty much nonstop since end of the season. First started off with the firing of defensive coordinator Tim DeRuiter. So let's start there. Tim DeRuiter fired earlier this week. It was one of those things that it was kind of speculated that we might be separating ways, but came out earlier. Your thoughts on the firing of Tim DeRuiter after 3 seasons?
Yeah, this really didn't surprise me that much after, especially this year. We had some really terrible defensive numbers this year. But if you look at his overall 3 years here, nothing is even on the good side, to be honest. I mean, we ranked in the 90s and hundreds in defense for mostly all 3 of those years. Couldn't really get pressure. Turnovers weren't there as much as you would have liked. And, I mean, I was talking to one of my friends about it, and the best way I put it was, outside of having one stud player each year, and I mean that by like Tyree Wilson in year one, Rabbit last year, and Jacob Rodriguez this year, that the defense was bad, and he couldn't scheme – the scheme wasn't making players better or making things happen, you know, outside of that one stud player that could do whatever they kind of, they were just good anyways. The scheme wasn't making anybody else better or making plays happen because of what you were dialing up. And that was pretty consistent, and that not in a good way over these 3 years. I mean, you kind of saw it last year and this year with our defensive line and pass rush being god awful, even though you got some guys in the portal or young guys that you think highly about.
Yeah,
nothing happened. So I thought it was a good hire 3 years ago, especially when Joey was going into his first job. He needed somebody he knew that also knew and was experienced. And so at the time it was a good hire, and it was good to, you know, try to keep him around and be consistent on that side of the ball. But I think it was a good time to separate ways and go find a new guy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with pretty much everything you said. I enjoyed him the first 2 years. I think, you know, with how bad our defense had been prior to him coming in, I definitely think he was able to clean up that side of the ball the last 2 years. But yeah, you know, the pass rush never got there. We really only had it when we had that 1 year of Tyree Wilson. Other than that, like, nothing ever came to fruition there. You were able to get the turnovers this season, and that's kind of one of the things that helped you win some games and kind of perform better, was your ability to turn the ball over. But yeah, really, other than that, you just kind of never knew what you were going to get each week, giving up lots and lots of yards. I mean, Oklahoma State's kind of the big stain on that, giving up 48 points to a guy's making his first start.
Was Abilene Christian.
Abilene Christian getting, 50. I mean, letting a Washington State quarterback run for over 200 yards on you. I mean, there's a lot of different, very confounding games where you're just looking at like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
And this was a unit that I think a lot of people were excited about. You had some youth on there, but you thought these guys were talented, especially the way that the coaches talked about them, and just for whatever reason, never got to work. And when you have that kind of bad of a season, I think it's time to look the different direction, because you need to get better. You need to get better fast. And so with that, Tim DeRuiter ends his tenure at Texas Tech and now enters Shil Wood, the former defensive coordinator at Houston. You snagged him, became official today. Read this stat for you. He's thrown from
Houston Athletics, under the direction of first-year defensive coordinator Shiel Wood, Houston's unit led the Big 12 and ranked 11th nationally during the regular season in fewest offensive plays allowed over 20-plus yards. So, you know, thanks Houston for providing that information. His defense only allowed five teams to score more than 20 points this year. From that perspective, Tech allowed 11 teams to score more than 20 points this year. So a lot of, you know, little good numbers right there for you. Seems like a pretty solid hire. Your thoughts on Mr. Wood?
Yeah, seems like a really good hire. From all the stats I've seen out there, I mean, he took a Houston team that was in the hundreds on defense into the 40s in 1 year. And we know they didn't have an offense really to work with over there. And so, yeah, seems like a pretty home run type hire. And then Houston, while you're saying Houston's giving us stats, they also gave us information today that came down to financials and they just couldn't pay him as much as we were going to.
We got that big money now.
And so, yeah, he's had a good track record the last couple of years at Troy and Tulane. He came with Willie Fritz from Tulane over to Houston last year, where they were a top 10 at Troy and 30th type defense at Tulane and 40th this year at Houston. And so, like, that's a pretty big jump to go from hundreds to 40s like that. And so I'm very excited for this kind of hire. And we also opened up a passing game coordinator spot. So there's at least one spot he can bring a coach with him.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. It's an exciting hire. You take that number of just like 40th best defense in the country that he did at Houston. And you wonder how much our record looks different if you had that for us this year. He's coming in. There's a lot of potential on this team. Obviously health is going to be a big factor in that, but you'll take exactly what they did. Houston was not good this year, but one side of the ball that kept them in the games was the defense. It was their offense that was really lacking. So it seems like he did a pretty impressive job there. Never really heard of him, but hey, we're always for guys who have the potential and can come in and show that they can clean up something in Power Four football as fast as he did.
They
there.
Were so hopefully... Houston in the Big 12 this year was giving up 23 points a game.
Yeah.
And we were giving up 34.
Yeah, not great. So that's a significantly better. If you can get that down to 23 next year, I would say things would be going well for the Red Raiders in year four. So sounds like a solid hire. We'll see if he's able to bring any, you know, Houston Cougars over here with him in the transfer portal, if there's any guys that you want. We also let go of Marcel Yates, our defensive back. So like you said, we'll have that position available. So maybe one of his assistants maybe comes along with him. Who knows? But that's the first hire. The other coach that is vacancy that we have now is our offensive coordinator, as Zach Kittley accepted the head coaching job at Florida Atlantic University. Zach Kittley is a very a very interesting topic on Twitter between fan bases. A lot of people like him. We were kind of on the don't really like him. I didn't hate Zach Kittley, but I definitely thought he could have done some things a little bit better here. But we're always going to be pretty critical of offensive coordinators. But ultimately, he moves on for a better job for him personally. And Texas Tech is now left without an offensive coordinator. Your thoughts on Zach Kittley moving on and the vacancy that he leaves?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by this. Good for Kittley getting a head coaching job as young as he is. Good luck to him there. I had already kind of come to terms with we were probably going to keep him. I mean, it's going to be hard to justify from Joey's side of things, like firing the guy that just led the Big 12 in offense and scoring with almost 39 points a game. And, you know, you have your quarterback coming back and OC and all that storyline. So, like, that's why I was kind of surprised by it on that end of it. So, overall, he did a really good job here. I don't know if he did the best job that he could have or we expected. We've talked about the quarterback development maybe not being as big as it could have been. And the situational awareness. I mean, not giving the ball to Taj inside like 5 yard line against West Virginia that second drive. A lot of those type deals, but overall really good. I mean, like I said, led the Big 12 in scoring and in offense this year with almost 39 points a game. And so he did a good job here for this 3 years. And so looking forward to what we go get next to fill that position.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I'm not gonna say anything bad about him. I definitely thought there was little to be left, that you kind of wanted to see from him. I think, like, we always come from the perspective, like, we think you have the potential, so if we're a little hard on you, it's maybe because we feel like you're not reaching that potential. And there was a few times with that. But ultimately, like you said, when you had the number one offense and one of a top 10 offense in the country, like, it's really hard to poo-poo that. And, like, obviously, yeah, some of the reasons weren't him this season. It was your defense. There's obviously some things that you would like to have gone better offensively in some of those games. But you're also hoping that your defense can hold on to a multiple score lead at times. And they weren't able to do that in a few games, or keep Baylor out of the end zone just certain times like that, or stop Colorado again. And so there's definitely difficulties on the defensive side of the ball that I think, you know, definitely made it look a little worse for Kittley. But ultimately, he was able to kind of right the ship on offense, I think, this year, yeah, after what was kind of a struggle last year. Leaves us after two really good offensive games, so we'll have a good taste in our mouths right now. So yes, it feels a lot better after getting an 8-win season and kicking West Virginia's ass right now. And so it's a good opportunity for him. I feel like it's the breakup that kind of needed to happen. And it happens where both sides, I think, are working out for the what's best for them. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens offensively. Right now, the kind of guy's name that we're hearing a lot of is Mack Leftwich. He's currently the offensive coordinator at Texas State.
Right.
The rumors are it's kind of like between us and Utah. So I'm not real sure which way that's going to go, but you would hope that a guy who's in Texas might want to stay in Texas and come to Texas Tech. So that's a name to look out for. Some people have thrown out Zach Morris's name. I don't know. I don't think he'll have any real desire to leave UNT right now and come here and be the OC, but that's kind of what it's looking like right now.
Joey said in his press conference today during signing day that, you know, expect a OC hire by Friday, maybe even by Thursday or at the earliest. And so things are moving quick, and their goal is to get, like, they obviously got Wood hired already. Their goal is to get the OC hired by the end of this weekend.
Yeah.
Because transfer portal opens up next week, and you want those coordinators talking to potential guys coming in. Yeah. And so hopefully that gets done by the end of this week.
And we're expected to be pretty aggressive in the portal, from what Joey McGuire said, from a lot of the gossip around, is that we're going to hit the portal hard, and we're not looking for just guys. We're looking for some all-conference potential type players to come fill some voids. So it should be an interesting portal season. And with that said, the big name to hit the portal for the Red Raiders, we've had Jake Strong, we've had Brady Boyd, we've had Jalen Peoples, but the one that caught Twitter on fire, Micah Hudson, entered the portal, is planning to enter the portal, as the terminology, before December 9th. This, of course, has a lot of people torn in two directions. I was kind of shocked. I thought this would be things Red Raider fans would be united on, is possibly losing your highest recruit ever. Wouldn't be looked at with happiness, or just kind of whatever. But Texas Tech fans will always not agree at everything. But big news to happen. Still hasn't fully played out. There's a chance he could stay. There's a chance he might not even enter the portal. There's a chance he could be gone. But your thoughts on Micah Hudson and the portal news?
Yeah, the news of the potential transfer didn't really surprise me after how this year went. I know last year in the spring was really hyped up, but didn't really pan out this year. The biggest thing we've kind of heard from players in that locker room and former players is production over potential.
So
can you actually play over what your stars were last year coming out of high school? And I had heard from some sources that he didn't know the playbook. So real hard to get on the field when you don't know the plays in the playbook. rather than like just get on the outside and run a go or run a slant. So I can kind of understand that, but he was also like really hampered by injuries, and that held him from really gaining momentum to get him on the field and learning more of that. And so having being hampered in the spring and summer, and then even during the season, kind of held him up and was a little bit of a rocky road for him this year.
Yeah. I mean, I tweeted out that this is a gigantic L for our coaching staff. Got a lot of likes and a lot of disagreement on there. I was obviously the night that it happened and it was a little emotional. I think the crazy thing to me is how people are just kind of so nonchalant about it. Like, I've seen a lot of people just like, whatever. Oh, how are we ever going to replace 120 yards of production? All this kind of crap. It's like, it's not that. You didn't get him to be good for us this year. Like, I don't think anybody coming into the season thought that he was going to be like our leading receiver, best receiver. I definitely didn't think that. I knew it was going to be Kelly. But we were promised by Coach Joey McGuire that he was going to have a big role on this team. Before the season, he was telling us that he was saying it at Big 12 Media Days that Micah Hudson was this great player and he's going to be an impactful player. So like our expectations were up. This whole prior offseason was about getting Micah Hudson to commit to Texas Tech. Did everybody forget that their profile pictures were Micah Hudson for like a whole freaking couple months? All you 50-year-old dudes who were trying to get an 18-year-old come to your school. Did everybody forget that? I think that's like the frustrating thing to me is like he was this huge recruit that we spent so much time to get here. Got here and then might leave with like just a blurb on the stat line. Right. And that's highly frustrating to me. Now, who's to blame on it? Like, to me, yeah, it's both sides. If Micah wasn't engaged and not trying to learn the playbook and stuff like that, that stuff's on him. But, you know, why was he not engaged? Was it because the coaching staff promised him all this stuff? I've got to be sure to get a 5-star receiver like him, the highest recruit ever. Some promises were made and some promises were probably not kept. And maybe that came with some of the frustration for Micah. There was obviously injuries going on. Did he know the playbook? Did he not? I don't know. Can you figure out 20 fucking routes for the guy to run and just have him run those? Like, it's not that hard. If he's talented, get him on the field. There's opportunities. And so I think it was just mismanaged pretty badly. Like, cool, maybe he's not the focus for this year, but you got to give those guys playing time. You got to keep them invested in your program because it was never about year one with him. It's always about what the future is going to be year two. And to just kind of shit that away, because you couldn't get Coy Aiken off the field or Dre McCray or Jordan Brown or some of these other guys. Like, he could have gotten some run. You know, we're not asking for him to play every snap, but he could have got 10, 15 snaps a game, kept him engaged, not just run those plays, run him out there for a play where everybody knows, oh, the ball is going to Micah here. So that puts him in a terrible situation. And so I thought just the whole thing was kind of mismanaged, and it's going to be a bummer that this kid that we were all really excited about might not ever do anything for you. And the thing that scares me is he's going to go to UT or A&M, one of these schools that we hate, then have an awesome career there or something. Like, that's not what I want to happen. I would rather him have an awesome career here. I feel like he's going to be a good, impactful player at some point in his career. I would like that to be at Texas Tech, and I don't know why that gets poo-pooed on. Like, I don't know why having that reaction, a lot of people are like, oh, whatever, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I just didn't get that response from people.
Joey was kind of, I don't know, he didn't act like he was gone yet.
Yeah.
In the couple of statements he's made this past week and today's press conference. And so he's even said he texted with him, talked to him earlier on Wednesday, you know? And so maybe he's a foot out the door and seeing what's out there. Maybe he's still a foot in the door and does want to see this thing through. And maybe the offensive coordinator hire helps that situation over the weekend. And so I don't think it's completely done. I do believe that. And so if we can mend this thing and keep it going, because he should be able to fill in and start for you next year if he's here.
Yeah.
And fill that Josh Kelly role. So that's what I'm hoping for still.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. And, you know, I don't think people realize how hard it is to find, like, a Josh Kelly replacement. And, like, yeah. You know, they're just like, oh, we'll just go out into the portal. Like, ah, we've tried that before. Like, you know, wide receivers haven't, you know, just 2 years ago, wide receivers were terrible. Like, and we saw what that did to our offense. And you're not going to have Taj Brooks this year to kind of bail you out if your wide receiver room isn't, you know, where you need it to be. And so, you know, maybe that find isn't just out there for us, and you have a guy in the room that could maybe fill that for you and just to let him go. So, I mean, I don't get the people who are just like, whatever on it. I know that for a fact, like a lot of those people were tweeting at Michael Hudson and desperately trying to get him to come play at Texas Tech and just for a year to go by and just be like, whatever. He's not that good. It's like, dude, he's a freshman. He was hurt. I think there's big things in store. Would love for him to be here. We'll see how it plays out. Who knows? By Monday, he might not even enter the portal. He might. He might go somewhere else. Maybe it's just an NIL thing to get some more money. There's always that, which I don't blame him for. Like, if I was a college athlete, I would try to get whatever I could every single time I have the opportunity to. We know there's the Mahomes thing. I think I've heard some former players have talked to him, so. There's a lot going on with that. Interesting reactions from every side of the fan base on that. So I wanted to get your thoughts today. As we mentioned, you know, transfer players are not entering the portal yet, but they're kind of announcing their decisions. So, you know, expect some more Texas Tech players to announce those decisions over the next few days, I would imagine. As also rosters got to be cut by one of the new rules. They've got to be cut to 105. So that's going to probably see a lot more transfers than usual because you've got to do that. But today is also National Signing Day. So the Red Raiders had 17 commits today that signed. Everybody that you expected to sign did sign. We're not going to go all through those, so we can get on as we got a Tech basketball game tonight. But good day, and maybe one potential more to come on, which would make for a Mary Flipmas, a former A&M offensive line commit. So,
yeah, 17 commits is a very small class, and don't let that scare you, but that's because you've signed two big classes the previous 2 years in Joey's first couple recruiting classes. And because, like you just said, you have the roster cuts coming down, and we're going to have to cut like almost 20 kids by, you know, end of April before June. And so going to be some tough decisions come this spring. And so a little smaller class to go into this signing day with.
Yeah, smaller class, and you'll definitely
a lot of big kids.
Yeah, a lot of big kids, a lot of linemen. But I think you'll fill the voids with the transfer portal. And Joey has said that they've got like 10 players in mind for the transfer portal, so expect them to be pretty aggressive there. But any other football news you want to hit before we move on to hoops?
They did speak on, I don't have it in front of me anymore, who was going to coach the ball games since we don't have coordinators right now. Defense is going to be CJ IU, doing that. One of our D-line, coaches there. I don't have it in front of me anymore. Of who's going to do the offense.
Juice Johnson,
wide receiver coach. Juice is going to do it. And so we do have some guys that can try it out and that have been there. So,
yeah. So expect that. Right now, bowl, not real sure which one. We've been suggested for a couple. So we'll talk about more once we know what bowl game we are playing in. And of course, once offensive coordinator news comes out, we'll and more transfer portal news, we'll be back here next week to kind of touch base on all of that football news. But we have some hoops to talk about, so let's head over and talk about Grant McCaslin and the Texas Tech Red Raider basketball team. Well, kind of a slow week as the Red Raiders only have had one game since the last time we recorded. They defeated Northern Colorado 89-64 on Black Friday. Kevin Overton had 20 points for you. He had 17 in the first half. It was a pretty solid performance from KO. Darian Williams doing his usual 21-10.
JT Toppin with a double-double. Kind of struggled again offensively to really get scoring, but did have 11 points, 10 boards for you. You know, pretty easy game. Any thoughts you had? You were not able to make it as you had a game, but the Red Raiders got an easy win over a Northern Colorado team that took Colorado to double overtime and has been a little pesky team to some other foes they faced.
No, it's just nice seeing D5 continuing what he's been doing this year and his gradual growth, and then kind of the emergence of Kevin Overton has been a great surprise.
Yeah, it's been nice as Kerwin Walton's kind of been struggling, so you needed Overton to step up, and he's been doing that. Great game from him on that Friday. Up next for the Red Raiders, tonight we will be there at the USA as DePaul comes to town for the Big East Big 12 battle. DePaul was not looked at as a good opponent, and I don't know if they will end up being a good opponent for you, but so far on the season they are undefeated, so that's nice for you to have an undefeated team coming here, not just like a terrible team that can't win any games, so that looks a lot better. And then Sunday you head to Fort Worth, where you will face Texas A&M. So any thoughts on these upcoming games and important opportunities for the Red Raiders to get some, you know, good wins under their belt?
Yeah. DePaul being better helps you, obviously. I think you're still like a 13 or 15 point favorite. It's all
15 point favorite.
Yeah. Tonight, I mean, it's at home, so that's expected. I did see that I think Tech is over in every game this year. So who said Grant McCaslin was just a defensive guy?
Offense, offense, offense.
But, yeah, DePaul and then A&M. So you got a couple real games. You know, maybe that undefeated DePaul kind of makes you play with some awareness in this game. And A&M, and then, yeah, you only got – I think two more games after that as your kind of warm up games. Kind of got a lot of time off in this
holiday season.
And then, you got, I think, what, UCF is our first game for conference on New Year's Eve in Lubbock. So,
Arizona State. Big opportunities. You need to get these wins over better teams, Power 5 basketball teams. You need to get a win over DePaul. Beating A&M would be a huge help to help your seeding out when the tournament comes, or if you need, you know, an extra win to help move you up or whatever. So these are big opportunities. You got to take advantage of them because we don't have a lot of them. Like we kind of complained about last week, you don't have a lot of these opportunities, so you got to take advantage when they come. There's been some rumors that Toppin is a little hurt, a little banged up, might not be here. I haven't heard anything from anybody specifically from the team, so I'm not sure of the status of him. So I guess we'll find out tonight if he plays against DePaul, but that's something to kind of keep an eye on. But opportunities for the Red Raiders to get a couple dubs over some quality opponents. Always need to get those done. Not really too much to talk about there right now. Things just kind of rolling along. Basketball season about to heat up as conference play gets closer and closer. Before we get out of here for the week, Dustin, your final shot.
I don't have any. I'm ready to go watch this Tech basketball game. Kind of quick get in and out episode.
Yeah, I'm ready for that as well. Tech basketball, got to eat, got to head up there, get to Club Red, have a drink, watch some basketball tonight. That will do it for us here at Tailgate Talks this week. We hope you enjoyed those episodes. Weekend off of football. Hope you enjoy conference championship weekend as things kind of get sorted out for the college football playoff. And we will be back next week to talk about more Texas Tech football as more news comes about. Maybe we'll know our bowl game next week.
Yes.
And all of that. So enjoy your weekends. Get out there and support the Red Raiders. If you're in Fort Worth this weekend, go out. Give us some loud Raider power chants at Dickies Arena. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate.